Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And it is the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox who joins us this week, Craig Breslow. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. I wish we had a result to talk with you about that was one other than a sweep here in this series with the Angels. Where are you this morning on what is going on currently with this baseball team?
Yeah, I think we need to play better, and we need to play better across every aspect of the game. We saw it in glimpses where the rotation carried us for about a two-week stretch, and then we had some good offensive performances. But watching the games, you can see a play or two or three each night and say that's going to drive a loss instead of a great play that's going to lead to a win. And there have been base running mistakes and defensive miscues, and then the inability to make a big pitch when the game is on the line, and you put that all together. And after that really good stretch of games that we had been playing, we're back under 500, and we're still trying to figure out how to put it all together.
In the nine games prior to the Devers trade, the team was 7-2. Since the trade, the team is 3-6. Did you expect a result like that when it came to trading Rafael Devers?
No. I thought that we would continue to play good baseball, and I still think that we'll play good baseball. But, I don't think that these losses can be distilled down to one player, one spot in the lineup. We haven't been playing great defense. We haven't been running the bases well, and we haven't been pitching well. And so we've been finding too many different ways to lose games to be able to say, hey, this is the one reason.
Craig, I know you said that you guys need to play better overall, but focusing on the pitching, besides Crochet, it's been a bumpy road for a lot of your guys. Do you feel like Andrew Bailey is still the right guy for this job?
I do, and I understand the performance and the questions that would lead to, but I also know the conversations that are going on every day and the work that Andrew and the rest of our pitching group are doing to try to get the ship moving in the right direction. And it's been inconsistent. We've seen glimpses of success, and Lucas has thrown the ball much better lately, and we've seen Bayo pitch deeper into games and use some different weapons with a cutter pitch that's been really effective for him. I think the consistency is the thing that's been holding us back.
Craig, we're just a little bit over a month away from the trade deadline. You guys are in a position where you're 2.5 games out of a wild card, and if you kind of continue to play up and down baseball, you'll be in that similar position come trade deadline. Is it safe to say that you guys are going to be active buyers when it comes to helping this baseball team come trade deadline because you now have some cash that freed up for the Devers trade?
Yeah, so two things. There's obviously a lot of baseball between now and then. But we absolutely went into this season with the expectation that we were going to compete and looking to the trade deadline as an opportunity to bolster the team. That's still where our heads are. We want to add to this team. We want to improve our chances down the stretch because we still think that this is a team that's capable of making a deep postseason run, and it's one that we believe in. Now, if the trade deadline doesn't operate the same way as free agency. So dollars are certainly helpful in that they provide flexibility and they give us the opportunity to maybe go down paths that we wouldn't have been able to otherwise. But so does a deep farm system. And so I think there are going to be a number of different ways that we could improve the team come the deadline.
Alex Cora said yesterday that Bregman will most likely not be back until after the All-Star break. Scott Boras said this week that they would be open to talking about a longer-term deal. Have you already or will you engage in discussions about a long-term deal there?
Yeah, I think the specifics of the conversations and the timing of the conversations will remain internal. But what I'm very comfortable saying is Alex has been everything that we could have asked for, both on the field. Unfortunately, he's obviously been hurt and hasn't been able to impact games on the field, but also in the clubhouse and from a leadership standpoint, not just in the way that he's helped younger players and our staff, but in the way that he's helped me and many of us in the front office. And so right now, while we're focused on doing everything we can to get him back on the field as quickly as possible, when the right time comes to have those conversations, I'm very, very confident that we will.
Why does, from your perspective, running the whole show, why does this team continue to make costly fundamental mistakes in the field and when it comes to, you know, basic stuff like base running?
Yeah, I think if there were a simple answer, then we wouldn't be talking about this anymore because we would have solved the problem. But
is it the
I can
is
say
it the,
that?
Is, but is it the players? Is it the manager?
I think there's responsibility that we all have to take. Now, I think recognizing that we've been kind of a poor fundamental team in the big leagues for a long time has forced us to do is look at the way that we're doing things in the minor leagues too and question whether or not we're preparing guys to be successful at the major league level. And if you look at our performance in base running and on defense in the minor leagues at each of our affiliates, that's been struggling too. And so we've changed a lot of the way that we're training and teaching and the feedback that we're providing this year. And I think that we've seen some progress, but it's going to take some time. But my hope is that by really being willing to take like a good hard look at everything that we're doing across the organization, we're going to end up in a better place.
Craig, I just with Bregman still being out and likely until after the All-Star break, why move Devers before knowing when you're going to get Bregman back in some capacity?
I think there are decisions, really hard decisions, that need to be made to some degree independent of each other. And you know, we got to this place where it felt like the Raffy trade and both sides getting a fresh start was important and necessary for the direction that we were going. And that was a really hard decision. And I understand the criticism and I understand, you know, the questions, but it was a hard decision that we had to make.
And with the Devers decision, you alluded to at the deadline that you will have cash, but you also have a deep farm system. According to multiple reports, the organization prioritized the ability to offload the entire contract over better prospects and eating some of the money with Devers. Wouldn't you have been able to accomplish two things if you traded Devers, ate some of the contract, and got assets that would help your major league club now?
I think that would devalue the players that we did get back. And by that, I mean that we really like the players that we have back. You know, if you were to say today, what are the areas that we think we need to improve? Certainly the bullpen, and particularly the back end of the bullpen, just given the workload that guys like Chapman and Weissert and Whitlock and Wilson have taken on. And we think in Jordan Hicks, we did get, you know, a dominant back end reliever. I would point to starting pitching and say, you know, we just talked about the inconsistency in the rotation, and Harrison is somebody that we had identified has a couple of things that he can work on. And then we think he's going to help us and not just help us as, you know, somebody who pitches at the back of a rotation, but somebody who can pitch behind Garrett, you know, and win big games for us. So I think in a lot of ways, we have brought back players that we believe can address some of the deficiencies on our major league team.
But you're a major leaguer, Craig. Like right now you have a weekend series against the Blue Jays at Fenway Park. You're 40-42. If you're in that clubhouse, why do you care about 2 months down the line? Don't you need people to help you win now?
Absolutely. And there's a ton of belief from those 26 guys in each other. And there's a ton of belief from us in the office and our coaching staffs in those guys. And you know, they absolutely were surprised by the trade and the timing of the trade. But in the conversations that I had with each of them and in the comments that they made publicly, they talked about believing in each other, having a job to do, and preparing to win that night's game.
Craig, when you were, and I know it's kind of going back a little bit, but when you're looking at trading a guy like Devers or just trading a player in general, and there are some issues about maybe a guy not being a team player, did that kind of close maybe potential trading partners with you that might had a few questions about his attitude and if he would be willing to do other things?
Well, I mean, you know, hard for me to answer how other teams were viewing the situation. I think most people recognize that they don't have all of the facts and all of the details, and that could work in both directions. But this was not personal, and Rathi is not a bad guy. The unfortunate thing is that we just got to a place where it was best for both sides to get that fresh start that I'm talking about. But we saw the way that Rathi endeared himself to the San Francisco fans in a really short amount of time, and he's a really good player and a really good hitter, and he's not a bad guy.
Craig, when we were asking you about Roman Anthony and when you guys were going to call him up, over and over again, you stated and kind of emphasized the importance of him and being able to handle kind of the pressure that you're going to put him in. Now that he's here, things have kind of spiraled. Do you think that he's handling that pressure well? What changed in your mind that you could put him into this position now rather than earlier this season?
Sure. So I guess to the first question, is he handling the pressure well? Based on conversations with him and the way that he's handling himself in the clubhouse, I think the answer is yes. And I was incredibly impressed with his maturity and selflessness when I met him last year and then in spring training when he was around our major league team. His makeup is special, and I think if there's anyone who could handle the pressure and demands of playing in Boston, Roman can. And what changed obviously is Willie had gotten hurt and was on the IL, so there was a clear opportunity for him to come up and get regular playing time. And then with the Rathi trade and the ability to use kind of four outfielders across three outfield spots and the DH, I think some of the pressure of feeling like you have to perform from bat number one, and if you don't get a hit today, you're not going to play tomorrow, has been removed. And that's some of the pressure that we're talking about, not just the ability to come up and save a season or carry a team, being able to show up at the park every day and know that you're going to play regardless of how yesterday's performance went.
I was just asking Roman Anthony, Craig. He's obviously the best prospect in baseball. He comes up. Why did you fire the scout that signed him? Like, if we're talking about this great player and how he's going to change the shape of the organization, and he's this most valued commodity, it feels like you'd want to have people that could find that talent around your club.
Sure, and I don't think it's fair to anybody to get into specifics of a particular decision, but what I can say is, as an organization, we value every person, and there are a lot of great people who are doing a ton of really hard work. Anytime we have had to make a decision to move on from somebody, it's been really, really difficult and keeps me up at night because we know we're impacting people's lives and their families. But the reality is, the game has changed, and the game has changed because the players have changed over the last 20 years. And if we're going to get where we need to go, which is to win a World Series, then we're not going to get there by doing things the exact same way that we have for the last 20 years. And so it's not that we have diminished the role or the importance of scouts. It's that we've asked them to take on some different responsibilities. And that's true across the office, and that's what drove the disruption here over the last year and a half.
You talked earlier about this team. You still believe in them. You still believe they have the opportunity to be there come playoff time. So if the trade deadline were today, would you be a buyer or a seller?
Yeah, we would be looking to improve our team. We'd be looking to improve our team for 2025 because despite the fact that we haven't been able to strung together the consistent performance that we think we're capable of, we're still very much staring down wild card chances, and you know, nobody has really run away with the AL East. And so as we start to get healthy and we start to look externally about ways that we can improve the team, we think we've got a good chance to make a deep postseason run.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you, as always, taking the time. We are next Thursday, our final road show. We are on the Dive, which is a floating bar, Lake Winnipesaukee. I would invite you, if you want, to do the front office report live from the Dive, Winnipesaukee. I don't know if you're available, but we'd love to have you up there.
No, depending on how the next week goes, I might be able to make myself available. How big is the bar?
Okay, all right.
Pretty big.
Yeah, could be. Okay,
all right.
I'm sure you like to, I don't know if you're a swimmer or not, you just like to have a good time in the sun, but we'd love to have you there.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Craig Breslow, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, we can get nuggets.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Curtis. Yeah. What a question about the scout.
Yeah. And it was I got a good nugget from that question.
You did?
Yeah, basically, like, listen, I'm the boss.
Do you do Polynesian sauce, barbecue?
No, I'm the boss. Here's what we're doing. We're changing some things. I don't care if you've been a scout here for 60 years. If you don't buy into what I'm kind of preaching, the new philosophy, your ass is on the street.
Okay. All right, well, coming up, we will play your Hill Notes back. You still have time to leave a quick one on the Odyssey app. And a reminder that if you cannot listen to this station on the radio, you can not only listen on the Odyssey app if you download it, but you can also stream it at WEEI.com. And here is Courtney with what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox dropped their third and final with the Angels, getting swept after jumping out with a 2-0 lead in the first. Final score 5-2. Richard Fitz went 4 innings, giving up 2 runs on 4 hits while striking out 6. That score brought to you by Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. The guys off tonight before returning to Fenway to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. Cooper Flagg is headed to Dallas. The Maine native was the number one overall pick last night in the 2025 NBA draft. The Celtics took forward Hugo Gonzalez from Real Madrid with their number 28 pick. The Bruins are showing off their new identity with refreshed logos and uniforms. The focus is the future. Cam Neely released a statement about the looks, saying next season marks the start of a new chapter in Boston Bruins history. And as we turn the page, we are excited to do so with a new look and feel, combining some fan favorite elements from the past with a refreshed style. These sweaters are going to look sharp on TD Garden's ice in the fall. And the lobster rolls are back at the Nines. Visit your local 99 today and try their famous colossal lobster rolls, 100% North Atlantic lobster piled high on grilled brioche, served hot buttered or with just the right amount of mayo and celery with fries and coleslaw. You gotta love the Nines. That's what's trending. Hill Notes coming up next.
That was Craig Breslow this morning on the front office report. Curtis peppered him with a few questions there consecutively. One about firing the scout that drafted Roman Anthony, which I was unaware of. He asked that question. I immediately went and looked this up. It's from a Jen McCaffrey story in spring training. They fired the scout. I'm mostly okay with firing Bloom guys, Dombrowski guys. There's one guy who had been in baseball for 50 years. I'm like, that guy could probably go.
Maybe. Or the guy that called him an effing stiff.
Yeah, that guy. Fine.
Yeah.
The guy who signed Roman Anthony, you might want to keep around. I'm with him on that.
Well, let's see.
But the good point. They're like, he's hitting a buck. Maybe get rid of that guy. Good point. But no, Curtis asked him about the Devers return, and
this was a kind of an alarming answer, and I think he has to do it because he's the one that made the trade. But when he said Jordan Hicks is a dominant,
well, just real quick,
back end reliever.
The question was about could you have gotten a better return by not making the Giants or demanding the Giants eat the full contract? And he's like, well, you'd be shortchanging the return.
Yeah.
And he goes,
you
on
sure
to,
about that?
We haven't seen any of these guys
to defend
the return. But like, Jordan Hicks is not this dominant reliever. That's what he's like describing him as. Do you know what Jordan Hicks' ERA is this season?
He's a better reliever than starter. I do know that.
Do you know what his ERA is? Yeah, pretty much.
5?
6.47 this year.
Oh, we call that a Walker Buehler.
Last year, 4.10.
Well.
The year before with two teams, 3.29. That's far and away the best.
That's when he was like a full bullpen guy.
Yeah, 484 in 2022, 540 in 2021, didn't play at all during COVID. So, like, the last 5 years for Jordan Hicks.
Wait, he took that whole year off?
Yeah.
He was one of those?
He opted out. He was
Harrison Hicks. They both suck.
He was a
wouldn't
David
take
Price?
The needle. No, I have no idea if that's true. But he did opt out of the season.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what the deal is there, but he didn't pitch in 2020.
He was a David Price in 2020. Yeah. I didn't even know that until right this second.
I said I was immunized. So Jordan Hicks stinks. And so he's trying to hype up Jordan Hicks. But it would be easier to hype up Jordan Hicks if we'd seen him in the last 2 weeks. If he pitched and he got out of some high leverage spots, mm-hmm. you might be able to spin that a little bit better. But he's like, no, don't shortchange the guys we got. We like the guys we got. We got one guy that's going to help us in the back end of the bullpen. Bet he doesn't. And we got another guy who he thinks could follow Garrett Crochet in the rotation and Kyle Harrison. I was like, well, let's see.
Are you sure about that?
Why is he pitching in Worcester then? He's always got to work on a couple things.
Hi,
he's got to work on a couple things? Because this is concerning. Because last year, Craig Breslow, at the moment, I was like, good, you at least made some moves at the deadline. You brought in two relief pitchers who both sucked.
Yeah, but he at least attempted to address some needs. Unlike Bloom, this is why I believe
they
in him.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. You understand that?
I do understand that.
Fair point there, Don. But I think Breslow is better than Bloom. That's a low bar. That's not saying much. But I do think Breslow is better than Bloom for reasons like that, Keith. At least he attempted to upgrade the team and
address
needs.
No, he tried,
needs.
And that's why, like, in the moment, I remember saying, like, I don't love these guys, but I'm glad he did it.
At least they bought.
It's right. At least you chose a direction. You didn't go, you know, you didn't trade any top prospects. You didn't trade anybody really off your active roster, but you added pieces that you thought you needed. But I only bring that up because the same guy that added those guys is now telling us how good Hicks and Harrison are.
Fair boy.
So actually, like, I believe one of the guys they traded away at the deadline last year was Zephyr Jean, who was throwing 100 shutting down the Red Sox yesterday.
Okay. Wait, was he a Red Sox?
I believe he was the Luis Garcia trade.
Oh,
I believe
boy.
So.
Oh, no.
That's a loss.
things are falling apart.
I didn't know he was a Red Sox guy.
But I would like to see these guys pitch in high leverage situations. But you also did take your best hitter, and you and I are both fine with moving on from Devers. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you traded your best hitter this season for two arms that aren't ready yet, and you're not scoring any runs. Like, your team can't hit right now.
It's a poor combo.
So, yeah, that's a tough one to defend. And one of the things that was brought up about the Giants in particular is their top prospect was a big Hoss first baseman.
He's now hurt, by the way, but yes.
Okay, yeah. But still, like, yeah, but at least then you're like, all right, maybe long term, maybe there's something there. And it's like, no, maybe Kyle Harrison, who's young, but he's already pitched, what, parts of three seasons in the majors. And so maybe they'll unlock him and maybe he'll be great. I don't know.
Zephyr Jean wasn't just involved in the Luis Garcia trade.
He was three players that moved in that deal.
Four. He was one of four prospects that they got four for this guy.
Yikes.
Including him.
Like, yeah.
He hasn't been great this year, but he shut down the Red Sox yesterday.
Yeah, I'm good. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yikes.
All right. Well.
But when it comes to Breslow, your sense is, and I agree with this, he believes in this year's team more than last. He's talking about it. And I I'm not criticizing anybody in the interview for not following up, but what I would have asked to Breslow is, well, if Hicks and Harrison are so good, and Harrison is a number two starter and Hicks in the bullpen, why the hell are they in Worcester? Like, why aren't they here? Why aren't they on the club when you need help? So you might like the A-ball prospects. Those guys are years away. The guys who could help right now are in Worcester. Why? But your general sense, and I agree with this, Keith, is that he still kind of believes in the team. And maybe he's lying. Maybe he's not telling the truth because he has to defend the Devers trade. But he does sound like he believes more in this year's team than a year ago, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, basically as much as he can do it, sort of said they would be a buyer. And he did point out the fact that there's a lot of time between now and the deadline, but did talk about adding to the 2025 roster, which is promising. Like, don't punt on the season. And let's keep this in mind. He is saying right now, when the team is two games under 500, so they're two games under, and they are currently 2.5 out.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to the trade deadline. If they are 2.5 or fewer games back of the wild card and they don't buy, then, like, what happened? What changed? Or maybe he was just lying about it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I would use that as sort of a metric. As long as they're this close to the playoffs, they should still buy at the deadline.
Justin in D.C. In the Twitch chat, these two guys clearly don't watch baseball. Trading away Devers will cause a 16-game swing for the Red Sox this year. I've been watching the Giants.
I disagree.
Giants, but Red Sox have been terrible without Devers. True, that's only half the story.
They were also terrible with Devers multiple years.
Thank you. So they've been terrible with Devers. They were one game over 500 with Devers this year. And they are 3-6 without him, 28 runs. The Giants, anybody following what Devers is doing with the Giants?
Killing it.
I think he come up with the bases loaded yesterday to win the game, or to basically win the game, and didn't do anything with it?
Well, he was 0-4, so I'd believe it. The Giants are 3-5 with Devers. They've scored 30 runs. He's hitting .194 with a .608 OPS, a home run against the Red Sox, and three RBIs. So, look.
He's also got some sort of injury.
Yeah, he's also not playing the field. Weird. He said he was going to play the field, but apparently he's not playing the field because he's got some nagging injury.
He tweaked his groin.
So he's back to being a selfish a-hole after 10 games on the team.
The Red Sox left, and he's like, okay, I can stop pretending now.
He's back to being selfish. Yep. They're losing. He's not hitting. So just factor that in when you're talking about the Red Sox without Devers. Yes, they've sucked without him.
Yeah.
Do they really miss his .194 average, 6-31? I don't think so.
It is funny when Breslow was talking about Devers today, too. He's like, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously he didn't say anything about being, like, a teammate. He's a trash teammate. He might not be a bad guy.
He's a bad teammate.
Horrible.
I love this line, too, from Breslow, which I heard in real time. I got to be honest, I didn't even give it much thought. Keith, you were like, This was funny.
This was the funniest thing Breslow has ever said.
Maybe he's, like, 10% human.
Or he just has some really good programming.
He got invited to not tomorrow's roadshow, but next week's roadshow.
The finale, Winnipesaukee.
And here's how he handled that invite from Greg.
No, depending on how the next week goes, I might be able to make myself available.
Basically saying I could be fired in the next week.
I mean, that is funny.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was like, look at that.
How about that?
A nice little joke for Breslow. He like loosened up there at the end of the interview.
Robo Breslow. Text line, Red Sox above .500 with Devers. One game over. True. They're under without Devers. They are three games under.
You
true.
You sniffed it out.
The Giants?
Yeah, how are they doing?
10 games over without Devers. They are two games under with him.
Oh, boy. That's a big swing. Holy mackerel.
I hear a lot of half the story, and that half is true. The Red Sox are stunk without Devers. Yeah. The Giants are also stinking it up with Devers, who's stinking it up in the batter's box, and he's not playing the field.
No, he's not.
So I would also...
His groin's barking
And
out.
If I have to be the only one to introduce that, I'll do it. But I would also point that out.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. That was Craig Breslow. If you have takeaways, weigh in. And we'll also get into the Red Sox stinking it up, getting swept by the Angels. Does that put the manager right back on the hot seat, where I guess Craig Breslow clearly thinks he is? Yeah. Is Cora back on the hot seat? We'll get into that next.
I think we're going to hear from the umpires here. Now Alex Cora's been thrown out. He said one thing too many for Alan Porter. He's been frustrated all night long. He's pointing out to the second base bag. He's been all over these umpires all evening long. And I think he's got something going on with Alan Porter. He just said, especially with me. In other words, there's some history here where he is upset and not getting calls to go their way.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Will Fleming's call of Alex Cora's ejection last night in Anaheim. The second straight night he'd been ejected. A guy who has said on the record, I hate being ejected. I'm supposed to be in the dugout managing. Two nights in a row, the frustration, the situation, the umpiring, the calls, it all got to him, and you're out of here.
Even Ramon Martinez couldn't save them. That's how bad things have been.
Ramon Vasquez.
Ramon Martinez couldn't
is the
either.
Brother of Pedro
Martinez. He couldn't. Well, he was no help, was he?
Nope.
Ramon Vasquez as well.
Still skinny and with the Dodgers somewhere.
Nope. No help whatsoever.
Yeah, it was a bad game last night, and I don't know. I do think Will Fleming accurately points out that there's a history. Alan Porter has thrown out Alex Cora previously this season.
For the same kind of call, for an infielder blocking the base at second base last year.
And for being wrong, and he seems like one of these over-officious umpires, dinks, that think they are the show, that it's personal.
Do they still not understand nobody pays to see them?
Yeah, and this guy doesn't, because this guy, I thought he was really, really close to maybe crossing the line to unprofessional. He kind of went after Alex Cora. There was more fire energy on his end, I thought, than Alex Cora's end. And I don't know how much that played in the ejection, what exactly Cora said to spark him. But those two got a problem with each other. If I were Major League Baseball, they probably shouldn't be on the same baseball field anymore. Nah. You should probably check future crews that are doing Red Sox games, because that's not helping anybody. And that's not why the Red Sox lost. They didn't lose because they didn't get the obstruction call with Toro making a terrible decision to go to second base after Duran made a terrible decision to try to go to third base and was caught in a rundown and thrown out. The whole thing. It was the right call. Alex Cora was right. I firmly believe it was obstruction. You go watch the video, and when he's sliding into second and the third baseman is kneeling there in front of the base, he's like, he comes in and then he's like, he pulls up because he's like, where do my hands go? He was like an uncomfortable 12-year-old boy on his first date. Like, I don't really know where my hands go in this situation. So it was obstruction, but they have more issues than that. Like, the bigger issue is, what the hell was Jaron Duran doing trying to go to third on a ground ball hit right at him?
Multiple nights in a row, there's been an Alex Cora ejection, a Jaron Duran, what the hell are you doing?
The Jaron Duran, what the hell are you doing, comes after the, ooh, nice Jaron Duran. Because Jaron Duran was on second because he hit a rocket at the first baseman, deflects off his glove. It's 30 feet behind first base, and Jaron Duran does what he do, and he sprints right past first
with
base
that
into
wild
second.
Speed of his, it's that hyper-athleticism that we continue to put faith in, turning his season around.
He's becoming Otis Smith. He giveth and taketh. He maketh plays for both teams.
He's a little better than Otis Smith.
I'm not so sure about that. He's making a lot of plays lately for both teams. Defensively and on the base paths, he is a help to the Red Sox at times. And then he's a hindrance to the Red Sox.
When you say Otis Smith, you mean Otis Nixon?
No, I mean Otis Smith, who had a lot of interceptions and gave up a lot of
touchdowns. Oh, you're crossing sports. Okay,
he made
that guy.
Plays
for
both
Otis.
Teams.
Oh, Otis, my man.
When I say Otis Smith, I mean Otis Smith.
Okay.
Not like Ramon Martinez.
Well, was he any help last night?
He was not.
Okay.
Well, I don't even know where he is. Well, dead or alive. We could play that game for all of
it's probably not going to do well.
I think he's alive.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But the Red Sox momentum, and we've talked about this, Stiz, we've been on this. This last night had nothing to do with Rafi Devers, in my opinion. Like, these are the Red Sox I've seen all year. They play poor defense. They have a bad first inning from their pitcher, and they can't run the bases. What does Rafi Devers have to do to that? They scored enough runs last night. They played the game where they come back, they tie it, like they're back in it, and then they can't quite close. Oh, Whitlock. Did Whitlock stink because Devers was traded to the Giants?
Yep. He said so in the postgame, I think.
I think that's how that works.
Oh, no?
So we're going to tie wins and losses and record moving forward and results and momentum and sellers, buyers falling apart to Rafi Devers?
Well, obviously Devers wasn't our only problem.
No.
Everyone knew that. I mean, we struggled to be above 500 this whole season.
Today it feels like the right day to say this. While watching the game last night, you know, I sort of jested yesterday. Yeah, they've said they don't have a top of the order or a middle of the order, Andy, or a bottom of the order. It's just a lineup these days, right? So while watching the game last night, I thought, you know what? This doesn't really feel like a major league lineup.
No, it isn't.
It's not.
It isn't.
It's not.
It might
I'm
be
sorry.
A,
it's not.
It's a 4A lineup. You're excited about some of the prospects,
it's
the future.
It's not a major league lineup.
The thing
right
that
now.
Made me think, and Stiz, you just kind of alluded to this, so if I asked you, like, your life is on the line or your mortgage is on the line, your house is on the line, and I said you just need
to... Yes, he would strip.
No. You just need to pick one thing that you're sure the Red Sox will do well tonight. One thing. It can be base running. It can be fielding. It can be hitting, runs, starting pitching, bullpen. If you could pick one thing that you would be surefire confident the Red Sox will do well tonight, Dan Ball, what would it be?
It would, of course, be matching up lefties and righties in the lineup properly.
You sure about that?
Yes, because they always have righties when a lefty's on the mound. You can't take that away from them. And if it gets to the ninth and you're in the lead, they usually get the save from Aroldis Chapman. This is a lot more difficult than I thought it was when I started opening my mouth.
And that's why I said bullpen, because if you just say Chapman, I think he's the answer. I think he with Bregman
hurt. The
only
automatic on this team
right now. Bregman's hurt and Devers isn't on the team anymore. I think the answer is Aroldis Chapman. And every fifth day, Garrett Crochet giving you a chance to win.
Right.
But if I just
say.
They
catch well when Carlos Narvaez plays, not Connor Wong.
For the most. Connor Wong, big day. Do we have music? Do we have celebratory music?
Oh, he got
music?
His first RBI.
He got an RBI, and he's been waiting a long time. And he got a pretty nice celebration when he got to the dugout.
They were excited for him.
They should be.
Yeah.
he was their starting catcher, and it's June 24th, and he doesn't have an RBI.
The Wonger.
But it's just, it's unbelievable this late in the season for a team, Fitzy, you thought was going to be good, right?
I think a lot of us did.
I thought it was going to be good. Dan Ball, you thought it was going to be good?
100%.
This late in the season, we don't have anything to say they're good at. Anything.
Oh, I can say the one thing they're good at.
What?
Not living up to expectations.
Failing short. Yeah, falling short.
Actually, you know what else they're not good at? What else they are good at? Not playing good defense.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent.
You know what? Actually, they are currently tied for the worst fielding percentage in baseball with...
Colorado Rockies.
Correct.
Somehow they're league leaders and circling the drain.
Yep. And I just... it is kind of stunning. And I don't... Is it a you problem or an us problem?
It's usually a me problem on this show, but can you be more specific?
I mean...
It's me bound.
Did we F up with our analysis, or did they F up season long with what they are? Like, okay. Did we just get caught up in some hype because, oh my God, they signed Bregman and they got Crochet?
No, on paper, they should be a better team, right? On paper.
He lost confidence midway through the sentence.
Right?
They should be a better team, right?
Right?
Anybody? We're going streaking? Why is nobody behind me?
No, but sometimes I just like to look at Dan for some assurance.
Andy, we often play the two things can be true at the same time game here on WEEI Afternoons.
Yes.
And I think this is a classic case of they definitely should have been better, and no shame on us for expecting this team to play at a higher level. And at the same time, what the hell were we thinking? Because this doesn't really look like a major league lineup. Now, that said, Casas should have been in the lineup, let alone hitting the ball. He fell over his own self at first base, tore his knee, and he won't be playing next year.
But he wasn't good when he left.
No, he was not.
People wanted him to leave, just not.
Rafael Devers took his ball and went to San Francisco because he was upset about not getting to play third or being asked to play first.
Being asked to do anything at all.
Live up to his contract,
et cetera.
Duran is playing at half the rate that he did last year, said, I'm Rafael, it's fine. Willie Abreu was hot in April, now he's not. The team is wildly underwhelming.
And you know what happens to teams that are wildly underwhelming? National baseball analysts put together lists of potential trade commodities candidates at the trade deadline.
Just don't trade Campbell.
And good players. Don't have that opinion, Jeff Passan or anybody else. They will come for you with social media pitchforks. But yes, Jeff Passan and somebody else, Dan Ball.
Kylie McDaniel.
Oh, Kylie. Old friend Kylie McDaniel.
Old Kylie.
They put together their list of targets for Major League Baseball, the trade deadline. Number one on the list, Dan Ball.
Number one on the list with a chance of trade percentage at 10%, Red Sox third baseman Alex Bregman.
Alex Bregman.
You want to talk about riots in the streets near Fenway Park?
Are you out of your mind?
If you trade Rafael Devers, then trade Alex Bregman, and now you have no third baseman, then that would be a major issue.
Okay,
the guy that you signed to replace him.
A factor here is you people all told me that he was a one-year deal.
Did we?
Because he has outs after each of the first 2 years of his $40 million a year contract. So you people told me he was going to ask out anyway. So that adds a layer of why you would trade him, right? If you believe he's going to opt out at the end of the year and you're not going to the playoffs, it's called good business to trade him.
Yeah, no question.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So number two on the list, it'd be some cool Mason Miller, some guy on another team. Who would number two on Jeff Passan's list of likely trade deadline targets in Major League Baseball be?
With a chance of trade percentage at 25%, Red Sox outfielder, DH, leadoff hitter, Jaron Duran.
25%. Wow.
Base running maven and expert, Jaron Duran. He always knows when to go and when not to go and when to slide and stop on the base and not zip on right by. A 1-in-4 chance.
I think it's going to get higher. I mean, I'd love to ask Bradfo about this, but I've heard the likes of McAdam and Cotillo and others around town and on the beat speculating they believe a Duran trade could very well happen.
Well, this started 30 days ago, month and a half ago. San Diego's been linked to him all May and June, basically.
Oh, fake news.
It seems real when it comes coming up.
I mean, it started a year and a half ago, for being honest. It started at the beginning of 2024 when they were starting to poke around, but then Jackson Merrill had the breakout season he did.
Yep.
I think I said this to you off air yesterday, but with how much Duran seems to be tapped into, you know, what's being said and the influence that the fans have and stuff like that, if these are the rumors out there right now, you got to do this now. You got to pull the Band-Aid off, because the last thing that he needs is to be sitting in the middle of trade rumors trying to focus and play.
Oh, yeah. Truth. And I'm not going to go down the mental health road. That's a separate personal thing.
Yeah, no question.
But known to struggle.
Absolutely. But I'm just going to stick to baseball, like people told me to stick to football on social media last night when I said trade Christian Campbell.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. If you just stick to baseball, he looks like he has focus problems in the field this year, correct?
Yes, and the numbers Duran? Back that up. Yeah.
Looks
yeah.
like he has focus problems on the base paths this year, correct?
Would appear so, yes.
Okay, so if you only add layers of distractions, of trade rumors and stuff, it's not going to go well. But you just said if they trade Bregman, riots in the streets. Riots in the streets if you trade Jaron Duran?
If you did it last year, yes.
No, I mean now.
If you did it now, I don't get the sense that people, depending on the return, would be all that banged up about it.
But don't you feel like this could also be a case of the team is so underwhelming that now you've got guys pressing to be more, do
yes,
more,
absolutely.
Make up more, and Jaron Duran seems like a people yeah. pleaser.
Example
or like the
a.
kind of guy. Maybe we should, you know, in an hour and 15 minutes, ask Alex Cora that during his weekly interview
he
with us.
On my list.
Hey, do you believe Jaron Duran is trying too hard?
Too much.
Too much.
Like, take a step back. But I also, if you, I think he might be the team's most popular player right now. I think people really like Jaron Duran. Now, Crochet is probably elevating there. Chapman, for whatever he is, performance-wise, might be elevating. But and the young guys have a
he's
chance.
He's an asset right now.
But I think Jaron Duran is your most popular Red Sox player. And I think he's more popular than Rafi Devers was. So I think you'd be trading your best player and then trading your most popular player. So you don't think that might be riots in the streets for a team that was supposed to be competing for a World Series this year?
I just feel like the tide's changing on him. And listen,
why? Because Carrabba's doesn't like him?
No, this is.
I love how everybody gets their opinions from other people. Well, if Carrabba's doesn't like him, then I can't like him anymore. Have your own damn opinions, people. Don't be sheep. Be lions. Sorry, go ahead, Danbo.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. This is actually
a lot.
Reading and interacting with other people outside of the people who know more about the Red Sox than anybody else in the town, and I will give him credit for that. But
Wait, who's that?
Jarrett Carrabba's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but outside of hearing what they discussed on their podcast, this is just reading and listening and interacting with people. People are having their opinions, and the Red Sox are too. They moved him out of the leadoff spot against left-handed pitchers.
Yeah.
They DH'd him for the first time who knows when.
Yep.
They're starting to kind of paint the picture of, hey, what does life without Jaron Duran, leadoff hitter and left fielder, look like right
Jesus.
Now?
If they trade Campbell, Duran, and Bregman. Literally, all the guys on the WooSox are like, hey, are we all going to Boston?
I'm not worried about you, but what you're saying.
You know who would love a cost-controlled outfielder right now? The Sacramento A's.
You know what they have?
Who?
A closer. Also, where's Aroldis Chapman on this list?
He is number 18 on this
He's
list.
That
chance,
low?
Chance of trade, 35%.
Because I think he, if I'm another team, and I look at Aroldis Chapman, and I think I'm a playoff team, a World Series contender, Aroldis Chapman has been awesome. And he was supposed to be the setup man here. He's been a really good closer here this year. He's throwing 100 and whatever you want to believe the gun to say, 103. I think Chapman, whatever your feelings about Chapman were pre here and human being, and that's a side topic. But if you watch what he did this year, and I'm like a pro scouting director from another team, yeah, I'd take Aroldis Chapman. He's the
in
perfect
a heartbeat.
Guy. He's the perfect guy.
What bullpen couldn't use a 103 mile per hour juiced up gun throwing veteran left-hander?
Still 99 on a real gun or whatever.
Okay, all right, whatever it is. Like the dude's balling out this year.
What else we got on there? Any other targets? Is Abreu on the list, Dan Ball?
No, the only other Red Sox
Campbell,
that I
obviously.
Can see that I and I'll double check to make sure I'm not missing it. Number 28, our boy Walker Buehler.
What are you going to get back for him? I don't even want to make the whole, like, some big league chew and a fungo.
A bag of balls, and then you find out, wait, these aren't major league baseballs. These are T-balls. They bounce.
They're shooting at the cans.
Yeah, you just got to wait out the Red Sox at this point if you want Buehler, if anybody does.
Isn't that how they got, what's his name, last year, Paxton? Like, the Dodgers were going to DFA him, whatever, and then the Red Sox traded...
Yeah, like they got
him back, and he was great.
No, he wasn't.
The other teams.
And I would think that he would maybe Walker Buehler could follow a same path if he goes elsewhere, because I'm with Dan Ball in his three-point stance that he might just be toast. But you could maybe get a little something-something cash.
What a fall from grace.
John Henry, cash.
Watch him. You know what?
You like, You know that soccer team could use a little cash.
Watch him go back to L.A. and be lights out.
I don't think that's going to happen. Dan Ball, chances of that happening. Make up your own percentages here. Walker Buehler goes back
to
the Dodgers.
Does Breslobot know what the chances are of Walker Buehler being DFA'd, sent to Los Angeles, and rekindling his career with the Dodgers?
That percentage also, I think going back to Los Angeles, just that one detail is strong. I'd probably put that over 50%.
Like, yeah. Anything is possible.
Rekindling his career, I don't know. I don't know about rekindling his career. I'd put that at like, I don't know, 15 maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, doing the same thing Craig Kimbrel just did with Atlanta. Go back to the team where you started, work out in AAA. Maybe you get a chance, and he's a playoff competitor, so maybe there is something.
And maybe
there.
You get rid of the pressure or whatever mental rut you're in, the angst, and maybe you can just recapture your form and a little confidence. Speaking of percentages, Dan Ball loves to put stats in the rundown. The Red Sox have a 25.2% chance to make the playoffs right now.
Nerd.
Seems high. Wow, nerd on nerd crime. Brez calling out Dan Ball. That's per Fangraphs. They had a 43.9% chance on this day a year ago.
Wow. I wonder even what it was like a week ago when they were riding the four series win streak.
Oh, it was much better. It was much better.
It's not good.
Let's squeeze in a phone call, 617-779-7937. Eric in Chicopee wants to join the Jaron Duran discussion. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'll be furious if they trade Jaron Duran. And I'm not going to act like I have the pulse of Red Sox Nation at my fingertips or anything.
Neither will
but
we.
I will. I think I would speak for a lot of people. And quite frankly, the only place I've been hearing this is for, and I don't know exactly who, because I'm not, like, making a ledger, but it's from voices coming off of this radio station, and I don't know where it's coming from. It does not benefit anyone to trade one of your most dynamic players in his prime. I mean, I don't get it at all, and I really don't like hearing about it.
All right, thanks for the call, Eric. I mean, I can't
explain.
We
didn't make it up, Eric.
We didn't make it up, first of all. Jeff Passan tied in. He's got him number two on the target list for Major League Baseball.
Started 5 weeks ago with rumors.
100%. San Diego. It's been out there.
Yeah, he was number one on the Athletics list as well. That came out a day or two ago.
Also, I would just say simply, they have a glut of outfielders, and they're younger than him. They have longer cost control than him because either experience, whatever, time, or Rafaela has already signed a contract.
Uh-huh.
So, and I think you can argue that maybe the best of Jaron Duran is behind you. And, you know, part of the future, if you're planning for the Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer Red Sox, that's Rafaela and Abreu and the other guys mixed
in. But if you deal away Duran and you know he's probably going to cost some money and you're not going to pay it, where does that money go?
Kyle Tucker.
He's also an outfielder.
Yeah, I know. It all goes to Kyle Tucker. The answer is always, there's two of them. If the answer is in some way related, you ever see those online memes that the answer for some rednecks is always either duct tape or WD-40?
Yeah.
For the Red Sox, the answer is either Mason Miller, if it's pitching related.
That's not happening.
Or Kyle Tucker, if it's hitter related. Those are the two answers. Yeah. Stiz.
Did that caller just say it would be insane if the Red Sox traded one of their star players?
Hi, my name is Raffy Devers.
Wait, now Devers is a computer bot? Or is that a translator bot?
No, that's Breslobot trolling Raffy Devers.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they would never trade a star player and let a star player go.
I agree with that caller. I do think that, I think more Durant's people pressing than we were just saying would be upset if Duran got traded. Especially after the Netflix doc and that whole mental health thing, and everyone was rallying behind him. Yep. I think people would be
go fix your feelings somewhere else.
And on the heels of the Raffy Devers trade.
That would be a perception of it.
Yeah, and there is an interesting layer to that, Stiz, because it would get lumped in. And I lump it in. And I think you should fairly lump it in, honestly, because if you trade your two-hitter and then you trade your one-hitter and it's like, whoa, this lineup. And the three-hitter is either going to be traded or is still hurt. All of a sudden, the four-hitter is already hurt. Jesus, we're getting to the five-hitter before you're like an actual penciled-in regular part of this team this year.
Not great. Yeah. By the way, two-thirds of the people in your show poll are saying yes, they would consider trading Jaron Duran.
That's why he's the best in the business. Mm. I totally forgot I even did that as a poll today, and I knew it was interesting when I was driving in. 65% would indeed trade Jaron Duran. So, Stiz, that kind of pushes back against our popularity theory. Now, you know, some people, as they are wont to do on Twitter, will consider. I'd consider anything. That's terrible wording.
That's part of it. And then I think you got to think about the audience on Twitter. I think those people responding to that poll are very like sports centric people, right?
Which, yeah.
What percentage of the Red Sox fan base would you see are diehard X's and O's? You know what I mean?
What do you want me to ask my mother if she would trade
Aaron
Duran?
No.
Sure, call her up.
I think the average Red Sox fan.
The average Red Sox fan you don't think is represented in those numbers?
I'm not
65,
saying
35?
That exactly, but I think that Twitter poll is a little bit skewed.
Okay, but 65% of the respondents of my Twitter feed, which generally leans a little bit Patriots because of my history covering the Patriots.
You worked for the Pats?
I did. Long time.
Hey, did you ever go to a Super Bowl?
Nope, and they haven't won a playoff game since I left the organization. Interestingly enough. Geez.
Now, there's a stat.
Interestingly enough, even with Tom Brady, they lost the playoff game they went to without me on the payroll. So, coincidence? Maybe. Maybe not. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to pay off what is a long tease. It's like a 17-day tease or something. More likely. We played a game of more likely before I went on vacation. What I was going to miss, what I was not going to pay attention to, what I would wear, not wear, do. Am I buying property in the Caribbean? All of those things. More likely, the payoff next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Chime, I'm okay with pre-disco Bee Gees. So, that's a banger. Always acceptable, but no further disco rejoins on the show. I know Wiggy wants them all
Love
morning
him.
Long.
You know, I listen just every now and then.
Is the goal audience or no audience?
Curtis! You gotta understand, disco is big, especially for our audience.
I was just saying to Wiggy, like, yeah, I'm not a big disco person. He said, Courtney, I want you to look up Donna Summers. I'm like, yeah, I know who's...
Summers? There's no S.
Oh.
I want you to look her up. She is like what Taylor Swift does, shiny.
Do you know what she performed at? What massive Boston sports event?
Donna Summer?
Yep. I believe. My memory.
World Series?
Nope. A baseball game.
All-Star game?
99.
Nah. Mm. The Ted Williams game. All-Star
right
game.
After the coolest where they had the All-Century team introduced.
Yes.
I mean, Taylor Swift is basically a disco person on stage. Her whole swagger. That's the whole disco era.
Yeah, her outfits, I guess. You're right.
It's her whole swag.
Coming up, we are going to get to They Said It. And that is a quick back and forth on everything they said yesterday in sports. And among the things that we will get to is what Bill Simmons said about the official passing of the 2024 Boston Celtics. Audio eulogy from Bill Simmons after the Celtics make another move and trade Kristaps Porzingis. Fan favorite. Another guy who helped you win a banner. And things are going to look a little different next season for the Boston Celtics. So, and you can talk about that trade all day long. And all morning long here on WEEI. But we have leads left. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Before I get to my lead, I just want to thank the listeners, because Greg always says it, but the nicest, most giving listening audience ever. We posted yesterday, Santo's riding the PMC this year for his mom, and you have to fundraise for it. And we hit his goal in like 2 hours.
Really?
So the nicest people that give over and over again, not only just for Greg's foundation, but also for Santo. So just wanted to thank everybody.
And coming up in a month and a half, the Jimmy Fund.
Yes.
And our annual Jimmy Fund radio telethon. Getting close, somewhat close, I think, to $100 million raised. We're over $70 million when it comes to the Jimmy Fund. Wow. Am I right, Curtis?
That is correct. Yeah. Unbelievable every year.
Unbelievable.
But my lead this morning is Alex Bregman, because in the state that we are in right now with the Red Sox, Scott Boras spoke yesterday. Alex Bregman currently in the first season of his 3-year, $120 million deal with the Red Sox. We talk about it all the time that it is a player-friendly deal in the way in which the Red Sox have dealt with this season. If I was Bregman, I'd probably hit the road. Well, his agent, Boras, is saying that he and Alex are open to negotiations for an extension well in advance of his free free agency year. Mm. Boris says it's up to the team now. He said, quote, those are questions that only the team can propose. I think everybody is focused on the season, but the idea of it is if you have a player playing at a high level where he's at, that's important for the team to look at and important for the player to look at as well. So if you are the Red Sox, if you are Craig Breslow, and you are hearing Scott Boris is saying, we are open to negotiations right now, today, do that.
Well, that's probably because I think it was Jeff Passan or one of those MLB insiders who, but their belief is that the Red Sox, should they be, should they believe themselves to be out of it at deadline time, would think about dealing him, which I would be I would be really bothered by if they did that.
He is really good at his job, Scott Boris.
Oh, he is so good because you know what he's doing.
Yes.
He is basically saying when Bregman leaves after the season and opts out, we wanted to stay.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But
Greg is so right. You just caused an absolute kerfuffle this entire season. And I'm not saying that it was the wrong move to bring Bregman here, but you caused an absolute issue with your number one player. Then the guy that you bring in that caused it gets hurt, and now you're going to deal him? Like, that is just complete mismanagement.
No. Yeah. I mean, he is... Not only is he an unbelievable player, but he seems like an unbelievable guy to have around your young guys. You know, Bradfo or whoever, they love to tell the story because it's a great story about him going out and buying the new guys, the prospect guys, suits during spring training. And he's just that.
I don't think he's going anywhere, though.
Huh?
I don't think he's going anywhere because of the injury. And then this is an injury that he's had before. Right, he's what, 32 years old. He was off to a good season, but he's been out for a while. Unless he comes back and he tears it up, right? Are there going to be many teams that are going to give him?
He's opting out.
But he'd have to.
I'm with you, but Ken and everyone says he's opting out.
But wouldn't he have to tear it up though to opt out? Because if he comes back,
Because I think he's a proven commodity, and I mean injuries happen. There's going to be. There are going to be teams that want him, Wiggy.
But about worst case scenario for the organization all March. It was, how are they going to survive? How are they going to figure this out with Devers and Bregman? On June 25th, they have neither.
God, I would be pissed if that happens.
Do you think Devers would have helped yesterday on those when they had a runner on second and nobody out twice late in the game?
Yeah. He could have used his bat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Could use Bregman's bat.
Sure. I mean,
we definitely know that if he happened to hit a walk-off in that game last week, he would have done an interview afterwards, as he did for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
I thought that he took it literally when he hit the ball. He walked everywhere instead of running.
Guy refused to do a single interview with Nesson or this station or the Shaw's Star Market Red Sox Radio Network for 2 years.
Well, Dave O'Brien's a gotcha journalist.
For 2 years.
Mm.
And then he goes out there, hits a walk-off. He's like, where do I go for an interview?
Right.
Put me on everything.
Well, Jemai loves him.
Who does Jemai not love?
No, I know. But I think that if he refused to do interviews with Jemai.
Courtney loves Jemai. Jemai loves Courtney. Great. I love Jemai. Very nice man.
I'm just saying.
Well, his English has gotten better in 2 years. That's
I mean, give me a break. All right. Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I'm going to do a quick reflection on what we once had to what we now got and where do we go. 2024 Boston Celtics. Here's your seven deep because that's generally what you do. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Chris Stapps, Porzingis, our guy, D. White, P. Pritch, Big Al. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
As we stand here today, 6:25:25, Jaylen Brown, D. White, P. Pritch, the Murder Hornet, Luke Kornet, Anthony Simon, Georges Niang, and Sammy Hauser.
Oh, don't forget about Quetta.
And Sammy Hauser. As we stand today. So I ask this question. That team right there doesn't probably do much in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Maybe a sixth seed. Maybe they might even have to scrap to be in a playing team. I ask this question. Courtney don't want to move on from Jaylen Brown.
No.
But if you're the Celtics, do you consider trading Derek White, taking some of the, you know, a little bit more money you save, mm-hmm. and then you put a team around Jaylen Brown that he gets to be the guy for this year, but even then will struggle and potentially be a lottery pick, and you'll still have Jaylen Brown, you'll have Tatum coming back, and the possibility that you'll be a lottery team, and I heard some of the experts saying that next year's draft is supposed to be really good.
Yes, they are saying that next year's draft is a stacked draft. But I'm with Curtis. Like, throw this season out the window. Like, you got the built-in Tatum excuse. Throw mm-hmm. it out the window. See what you get for a pick, and then plan for the following.
But how
season.
Do you do that, though, right? You have
you hang on to Jaylen Brown. You hang on to Derek White. Like,
aren't they still scrappy enough where that's not throwing yeah. the season out the window?
You're going to be a 5 or 6 seed,
right?
Yeah. If those guys stay healthy, like.
Curtis,
me,
do you want to trade Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
I think you do, yeah?
Okay. 100%.
Yeah.
Not because he's done anything wrong.
Right.
The opposite. I just
for the future.
You like, have to – this would be a – this year is massive for the future of the Celtics in that Tatum's going to have maybe 4 years of elite play after this. Wiggs, would that be a good –
I mean, he's still young. KD's still playing at a high level. So let's call it 5 just to be on the safe side.
So 5 years of elite play after this. You have the opportunity to get back. So it's clear now that Chisholm won't be spending in the second apron, right?
Yep. Yes.
So whatever you think of it, that's the fact. So you get as far away from that as possible. You get as many assets as you can. And you use this year to go, whatever, 22-60. A, maybe you get Mazzulla fired, win-win. And B, you get a top 5 lottery pick, and you're able to be active in pursuing the next team that will be led by Tatum for the next 5 years, as opposed to holding on to Jaylen and Jason as they're, you know, being paid well at the top of the pay scale with an owner who's not going to get too deep into it. That's what I would do.
Okay. Texter says Wiggy always wants to trade the white guy.
Well, Jaylen is white.
The Derek.
Oh. Derek is white because of last name.
All right, Wiggy, thank you. Yeah, we knew that. You don't have to explain it.
Well, some people might have been like, wait a second.
Yes, that was the intention when it came to the texter, I think. All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
I thought this was interesting. Disgraced Boston City Councilor Tanya Fernandez Anderson, who was convicted on federal corruption charges. Remember her?
Mm-hmm.
A wire fraud and theft for accepting cash in the bathroom at City Hall, resigned, has yet to leave office. She has announced that she is throwing herself a party.
All right.
By inviting the public to come celebrate with her at her last city council meeting this week.
Is this one of the neighborhood parties that Wu was funding?
Yes. I mean, what are we doing? You were elected by the people and given their trust.
Yep.
And then you were in a bathroom, essentially accepting bribes.
Yes.
Have refused to leave office. And when you're finally leaving office, you're throwing a mixer to celebrate what you did?
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like a divorce party.
And everybody there, Greg, thinks that Trump ended democracy.
I can't believe these people.
Do people show up to this?
Probably some people will. I mean,
what could be more egregious? What could be more misleading?
Right? Get out of town, lady. Go to serve whatever, like, I don't know what your sentence is, but it probably ends up being some, you know, stay at home, ankle bracelet thing, like, whatever. Go get lost. Goodbye.
Can you glam up
a party for yourself? Like, are there hors d'oeuvres and red Solo cups?
Like, definitely red Solo cups.
Definitely red Solo cups.
Can you glam up an ankle bracelet?
That you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to my boy, your boy from Lowell Bean Shooter.
Oh, yes.
They call it the Irish Rolex.
Yeah.
You can definitely glam it up.
I love it.
All right. Well, That does it for Leeds. Uh-huh. Coming up, we'll get to They Said It. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Red Sox drop another to the Angels out West. 3-2 was the final in extra innings. Despite the loss, Garrett Crochet had another great start, going 7 innings, giving up 0 runs on 3 hits while striking out 10. They've got another one with the Angels tonight. 4:07 first pitch with Richard Fitz getting the start. Cooper Boardman joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 3:07 for the MassMutual pregame show. Kristaps Porzingis is the next one to be sent packing. He was part of a three-team trade, sending Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks, Terrence Mann and Atlanta's number 22 pick to the Nets, and Georges Niang and the second-rounder coming to the Celtics. Tonight is the NBA draft. Cooper Flagg is obviously expected to go to Dallas with the first overall pick, while the Celtics have two picks in the draft, number 28 and number 32 overall.
You never know. Nico Harrison, you maybe you put a package together.
I didn't think it happened, Wakes. And that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. That's what's trending.
No mention of Big Z and the Hockey Hall of Fame?
What could be more egregious? What could be more misleading?
I mean... do I have to write this stuff for you over there?
I guess, you do. Sorry, just focused on news over here. And I didn't know if we were going to do that, you know, as a segment.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
congratulations
thank you.
To the great Zdeno Chara.
And Jack Parker.
And Joe Thornton.
Oh.
All heading to Toronto and the Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll be right back with They Said It next.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Every Thursday at 11:30, we check in with Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. Baseball is a boring podcast. Check them out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Rob Bradford brought to you by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
McFarlane. Oh, my goodness. I'm so good. The red-eye flight always seems like a good idea at the time. Always a terrible idea, finally shaking off that. So I feel good. Feel good to be with you guys.
Okay. Well, the Red Sox, watching them doesn't feel very good
these days.
How are we feeling about the ball club?
It's basically the same question that was given Craig Breslow out of the gate from Greg.
Yeah.
I think I will give a far less articulate answer and just say you don't feel good. You do not feel good about this. And I don't know if you want mad foe, glad foe, or sad foe. I don't know what you want.
Wow.
But I'm erring toward mad foe because I look at this, what has happened, and I particularly that quote from Breslow in the Zoom call, you know, where he said, you know, we could end up with more wins. We think we end up with more wins doing it this way than basically if we were going to do it with the Devers. Well, it may end up that way, but even in this last week, there's been so many flawed elements of this. The biggest thing is that, okay, you want to turn this over. You want to turn over the vibe of the team. You thought you could get something back in terms of money and in terms of these pitchers. That's fine, but what you didn't do was you didn't replace a bat, and you just were counting on a lot of these players to take a step up, and they've almost all of them have taken a step back. And where that has left you, in a tremendously uncomfortable position at a most important time as you wait for Alex Bregman and Masa Yoshida to come back after the All-Star break. So what I'm saying is that in this time where you are going to define whether or not this trade has worked, whether it's going to define whether or not you're going to actually be a buyer at the deadline, you've left yourself in a spot where you can't score any runs because you don't have that guy in the middle of the order. That's why I'm like, man, this is right now as we sit here, the timing of this just does not look good.
Yeah, the trade, obviously you're not going to help your offense with the pieces that are coming back, but it'd be easier to defend the trade if you're Breslow if we actually saw Jordan Hicks or Kyle Harrison. Are we ever going to see either one of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, Harrison's pitching tonight. I think that you'll probably see Harrison maybe in a week or so, Hicks the same way. But, and I know that Craig came on and he talked about, and I know that Alex has also talked about this, is that it's the pitching, it's the defense, it's the base running, it's all of this. But we can't ignore what not having an offense has done. Because I do think that when you don't have an offense, when you know that scoring runs is going to be a problem, that puts the pressure on everybody else. And that makes everything else worse. That makes everything else a lot more difficult. I think that's exactly what we've seen over the last 9 games here. So, yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. Is that, and I wrote this today, if we want to juxtapose this against the Manny Ramirez trade, which is sort of along the same lines, middle of the season, turning things over for the sake of the clubhouse, so forth and so on. Well, you got Jason Bay back, and you also had other guys around him. Like in this trade, right now as we sit here, the unfortunate thing is that you're reliant on Roman Anthony out of nowhere to be a number three hitter. You're reliant on Carlos Narvaez.
When there's not a lefty on the mound.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're relying on a lot of these guys who maybe have had decent years up to this point, and now they're taking a turn. There isn't the no doubt about it guys that you did have back when you traded Manny, and that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. That's fair. And I you said Kyle Harrison, because I feel similar to Keith, where Breslow is trying to defend the trade. And he's like, well, we really like what we got back. Hicks and Harrison, like, what a return. It's like, they're in Worcester. Why is Harrison in Worcester? Are they manipulating service time to get an extra year of control?
Well, you could certainly make that case. Because I do think that if they get to the first week of July, they'll get an extra year. They'll also make the case of, they've done this before with pitchers, where, okay, we're going to get you into our system, we're going to fiddle with this, fiddle with that, and then you're going to become the guy that we want. And we've seen that with other organizations. When they get a guy in, we're going to teach you what we see, and we're going to go from there. So I can't really answer that question. All I know is this.
They do get another year of service time by waiting.
Yeah, I believe they do. Okay.
That kind of answers it to me. But
yeah, I believe it. Like, but we'll have to dig deeper into that. But I do think this is that this could, and they could be right, man. Like, they could be right. These guys could actually be helpful pieces of a winning team. But I'll come back to it. The problem is that the timing of this with the offense is really, really tough to take, because, and I've heard other people say this about the Roman Anthony situation, when they didn't want to bring up Roman Anthony, and they said that one of the reasons they didn't want to bring up Roman Anthony was because they didn't want to put too much pressure on him and drop him in. And then, really, I mean, there's no way around viewing it how it is right now. Well, you've put a lot of the pressure on him. You're hitting him as a legitimate middle-of-the-order guy. And so, I look at it that way. Like, well, what has changed? And what has changed, obviously, is that you have no other options to go to. And that's where a big part of this situation is flawed.
Do you have any thoughts as to why Jarren Duran has taken a big step backwards this year? And also, what is the likelihood he could be traded?
I don't know why he's taking a step back. I think it's one of the biggest mysteries, because he's healthy. He was a dynamic. We can't forget what a dynamic player he was last year. I think defensively and offensively he has taken a step back. So I don't have an answer for that. In terms of, is he going to be traded? I think we're going to have to ride this out. And this is one of the things that we said this when it comes to the Devers trade, this whole dynamic with this team. You have about a month. You have about a month to define what this whole deal, where you're going to land. Because I don't think there's any question that if you do think that you're going to end up with more wins with this team as after doing this deal, the whole plan was to have a good Jarren Duran at the top of the order. The whole plan was to have Jarren Duran be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But, you have to figure this out. And if so, what I'm saying is that if they are selling, yeah. I mean, I think that Jarren Duran could be on the table. And by the way, guys, I'm ranting and raving about what's here and then what's now. But I do think that you can still salvage this, and I think the first step you do to salvaging it is you have to actually be as aggressive as you were when you came to the Devers trade. You have to do this again. You have to be aggressive. Carlos Santana 2 years ago was traded. The Seattle Mariners were two games under 500. The Seattle Mariners traded for Carlos Santana and went on like this epic run, and where they, I think they went like 40-12 or something like that. And I'm not saying that's all because of one player, but if you're willing to be aggressive in mid-June with Rafael Devers, you have to acknowledge that you have to be also equally as aggressive in late June when it comes to fixing whatever ails you.
Well, Breslow said that in his own robot way earlier today. He's like, asked directly, would they be buyers or sellers? He did say he wanted to add. I mean, he beat around the bush a little bit. But he did say he wanted to add, but that doesn't mean they're going to do it immediately. That might mean closer to
the end of July.
But
here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Adam. If you don't, and I get waiting, and you have to wait, and the market
I'm with you. Do it right now. I'm with you.
100%. I mean, this isn't your normal trade deadline for the Boston Red Sox. You have to define what you are earlier than you ever have been because you have turned over the roster. You have thinned yourself out so much. And if you take a turn for the worse and you do wait, then you're going to dig yourself a hole that you're going to end up being sellers, and the conversation completely changes.
Trust me, you're preaching to the choir. I'd love for them to make a trade tonight. Is Bregman, what's the situation with Alex Bregman? He's not coming back until after the All-Star break. Boris the other day said he'd talk deal, which, of course, duh. We also had Jeff Passan put Alex Bregman at the top of his trade candidates list, only a 10% chance of him moving. So what exactly is the situation with Bregman?
Well, I mean, in terms of the injury, is what it is. He keeps coming back. They better hope that he comes back right after the All-Star break. He was taking the Instagram him running in fields and everything else. So I thought there was maybe a cart before the horse a little bit in terms of him coming back. But, you know, that's about the timeline that we thought it was going to be. When it comes to Bregman, yeah, you're right. I mean, when Boris says that, it was a good get by Tim Healy. But when Boris says that, it's like, yeah, well, you know, like, what else is he going to say? So that doesn't surprise. If you're talking about when have you started talking with Alex Bregman, and I think that Craig Breslow, if you read between the lines, it doesn't seem like they have. Now, I'll say this. I hear everybody was saying he's going to jump ship. He's out after this year. I don't know about that, man. Like, I don't know about that. Like, I could see him staying. I do think he likes it here. We all know that his wife goes to school in the city, in Cambridge. And I think that he has liked it. And I do think that knowing that this is the Alex Bregman team, especially now that you don't have the mirage of the $300 million player perhaps at face of the team. No, I mean, I could see Alex Bregman staying here. So I would strongly suggest that I do not think he is going to be traded. I don't think he's going to be dealt.
How much longer can they keep trotting out Walker Buehler every fifth day?
Well, he's going to get one more at least.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to get. I mean, it's honestly,
that's too many, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you want to match, and the one thing I like about Buehler is that he reminds me of Beckett back in the day, where like his best press conferences is when he's bad. You know, he takes accountability and you know, says I stink and all that stuff. And he also was honest the other night about how he understands the dynamic when it comes to the rotation and guys coming back. And that's true. I mean, look at, you know, you have Harrison coming back. Hauk, who knows what's going on? I mean, that hasn't really gone well. But I think it's really, if you have other options, he has to perform. Right now, you don't really have any other options. So you keep running them out.
What's going on with Cutter Crawford? And when I say what's going on, I know he's done for the year. What happened?
I don't know, man. Like, I wish I could tell you. I mean, maybe we'll get
try
some
to
answers.
We're going to speculate coming up. You haven't heard anything. You don't know anything.
No, I mean, we haven't seen him, and maybe we'll see him tomorrow when they're back home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know that, you know, they said, hey, this isn't anything.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, don't ask any questions.
We won't tell you what happened. It was not a weird thing that he did. It was totally normal.
Weird.
How did you guys?
It reminded me, you know, anytime anything like this happens, a couple of things come to mind. Paxton Crawford way back in the day.
I remember that. What was that? He stepped on a You stepped on a glass or something like that? What was that?
Yeah, glass. I don't know what happened. Like, it was like
hammered
weird.
And fell out of bed.
That and I'm not saying this is the same thing, but anytime there's any mystery when it comes to injury. And then I remember a guy who I just interviewed, Michael Kopech. Michael Kopech, I was sitting in the clubhouse in Fort Myers, and everybody else had gone up to Bradenton, and he walks by the clubhouse with a cast on his hand. And I'm like, what? So I'm like, what happened to you? He's like, you're going to have to ask them. So I did ask them, and they were so fed up. They're like, no, he got in a fight with his roommate. They were just like, that's exactly what happened. Nice. He got in a fight with his roommate. So, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I hope that he's there tomorrow so we can ask him. But, you know, the thing is with Cutter Crawford, it's too bad, man. Like, he could have been part of the solution, but obviously not the case.
Real quick, because I know you got to run. How did you guys find out about Sale? Did the team tell you? Did he volunteer it? Did somebody report it? How did the Sale falling off
about
the bike
come
out?
What, the bike riding thing?
Yeah. How did we find out about that?
They said it.
They said it.
They said
it. No, that's what I'm saying. So the team, told us.
Yeah, we forgot.
Okay. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought, you know, but that led to like, well, was it a bike? We don't have television footage of it, or we don't have proof of it. I mean, so and that led to all kinds of different questions. What are you doing riding a bike? All of that. But, you know, yeah, that's what they said out of the gate.
Okay.
All right.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Check it out on the Odyssey app. Bradfo, enjoy watching the Red Sox. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank
Thanks.
You, Rob. Right. You want to know a little bit of Michael Kopech? You know, I'm the WAG expert.
Yeah.
This one will blow your mind.
I know you're the
Do you know who Michael
WAG
Kopech
expert.
Went out
no,
with
I,
at one point?
I
this
no
is
idea.
A deep cut.
Okay.
This is, your wife would know who this is. So, okay. Croy Bierman.
Yeah.
The football player for the Falcons. He was married, and like it's popped
What's
up
her name? When you say her name, I'm going to know
Kim
it.
Zolciak.
Yes, yeah.
Who was like Real Housewives of Atlanta on this Bravo show.
Kopech dated her? Or Kim?
No, daughter. Kim's daughter dated Kopech for a while. Well, I think he's with somebody else.
I think all these Bravo daughters now have a show.
Oh.
I think she's
She's probably
of it.
There talking about Kopech. She's like, yeah, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Now he's with somebody else.
Could have been
me.
Could have been Paul Skeens.
That's right.
Could have
just missed.
It's Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Red Sox won't tell us what happened to Cutter Crawford. But Keith and I have some guesses, some ideas.
Got some ideas.
As to what could have gone down.
Wrist injury, you say? All right.
Well, if it was a neck injury, I'd have a guess. I can tell you that. It's only two ways those happen. A car accident and something else, as Larry David once said. We'll get into that and some other odd baseball injuries. You just heard a couple of them there. That's next.
Did you know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen?
Either on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Hopefully everyone's enjoying their afternoon in the heat, including the heat-related rejoins here. It is hot out there. Feels like 100-plus. Almost all over Massachusetts.
The actual peak temp was 103.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody is staying cool or in a pool. Or
the ball butter going.
No air conditioning, I was going to say. And I know it's cliche, but do people still do the thing where, like, if you have an elderly neighbor, maybe go check on them.
Yeah.
Make sure their AC is on and working.
Couldn't hurt.
And,
bring them a lemonade.
Yeah, just check in, see if they need an ice cream, a popsicle.
Who couldn't use a bomb pop right
any
now?
Any sort of assistance, because this is not, you know, this is not F around hot. Like,
no.
This is, like, serious hot. You know, I joked about it with Jones and Keefe, like, you got to be smart, whether you're going out in the yard to do something, whether you're, especially as we get a little older, and maybe we're in that phase in our life where we don't quite know where our limits are. We're not as young as we used to
be. Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
We're not old yet. I'm speaking for you, too, because you're in this stretch of your life as well.
Well, Stiz, do you have a yard, Stiz?
Oh, yeah.
I do. Well, I don't have grass.
Well, then that doesn't count as a yard.
No, but I do. I make do with what I have. I have a fire pit. I'm out there, man.
Yeah, you don't remember when you got the fireman came because we were in one of those red flag warnings
burning
where you're
leaves.
Not supposed to burn, and he was burning during like the highest
the best thing I've
fire
heard
season warning of of all time.
And tonight in news, Chelsea rages on in a blaze that is not covered in glory as one person forgot that there was a red flag warning.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yes, but in all seriousness, no, tonight not the night to maybe go home. Like, I'm going to start that new back deck that I've always been thinking of doing. Or
and you know what I'm going to do? No. I'm going to leave on the Christian Arcand show and then we'll listen to the Red Sox against the Angels.
Imagine how hot that's going to
be. Oh, my God.
He's always coming in.
My God.
Now he's he actually had a good point last night, real quick, as we wait for Red Sox manager Alex Cora. But this whole, we've been talking about the Celtics, the trades, the second apron, the CBA giving everybody a chance. Everybody gets a trophy in the NBA, and we've now seven straight, whatever, however many years it's been, where the champion doesn't get out of the second round.
It's been
parity.
Seven. It's been seven. Yeah,
that's not good for the sport. It really isn't. We talked about the parade in OKC that was...
The video of SGA hopping off the bus, not really walking attended. Over to the chain link fence that the fans were behind and high-fiving the tens of dozens of fans was rough.
So Arcand had a good take that the NBA created this, but careful what you create because it might not be what's for best for business or best for the sport. But OKC are the champions. They had their parade, and it just was nothing like the Florida Panthers and Brad Marchand. But we are, getting ready to talk to Red Sox manager Alex Cora. Game tonight in Anaheim. I believe it's a 9:38 start.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Who are the Red Sox, by the way? This is a team with a lesser record than you. They had lower projections than you for the season as well, and you are sadly 1-3 against them.
Yeah, not great. We could use a win tonight. And joining us now is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. Cora, how are we doing tonight after our second straight ejection?
I'm rested, well rested.
are you going to fight with us tonight?
I promise you, I ain't getting thrown out tonight. I'm not.
So, in all seriousness, no, I've heard you say you hate being ejected. Your job is to manage, and we've had two straight nights. You know, how did those two unfold? And was last night's, from afar, it appeared like a little bit of it was personal or there was a history with Alan Porter. Do you feel like that played into it last night?
Yeah, the one last night, we had a similar play. Well, not exactly the same play, but very similar. It was against the Twins last year, and the call was reversed. Von Grissom, he did block the back. Minnesota came out and asked for, you know, for the umpires to get together to see if they can, like, reverse it, and they did. And, you know, Alan was part of the crew, so yesterday, Rengifo was blocking the bag. His explanation was that Toro was going to be out anyways. But I'm trying to make my point, you know, and good or bad or whatever, you know, like I just felt like I needed to let it go. And, you know, that's it. But you know, we've been talking about this, you know, my job is to be in the dugout. Yeah, you got to defend your players, but I got a job to do. And of course, you know, I got to make sure I stay around the whole day tonight.
Alex, after winning four straight series, the vibes were kind of picking up in Red Sox Nation. People were feeling good. You know, there comes the series in San Francisco. You lose two out of three there. The timing couldn't be worse. And now it feels like the first inning ERA issues have come back. The defense has been a little sloppy the last couple of games. Why do you think that's happened the last couple of games?
I think yesterday, you know, was Walker just being all over the place, right, command-wise. We scored three right away, and they came back with five. We did a good job throughout the game to you know, get back in it, and then at the end they put some good at-bats, and, you know, they scored the runs against Witt. In San Francisco, Saturday and Sunday, we struggled defensively. We didn't make plays, and it cost us the series. But I think offensively, we're finding a stride. You know, we're doing a good job just staying in games and putting pressure on bullpens. And if we keep doing that, we're going to be okay. The other aspect of the game, you know, I've been saying all along, you have to pitch. And if we pitch, we're going to be okay. We have proved it throughout the season. And, of course, the defense, you know. The one in San Francisco was a tough one to watch, you know. Routine fly ball, routine light drives, and put us in a bad spot. And that's the reason we lost the series.
You mentioned Walker Buehler. He was obviously very disappointed himself last night. Reading some of his comments post-game, he said
At some point, that belief in yourself, it gets hard to keep tricking yourself. He seems like he's kind of a broken man right now. How do you deal with that? How do you salvage that? Is he expected to make his next start?
Yeah, he is. And you take the good and the bad, right? And we'll make adjustments. Just watching the first inning, I really thought the second and third inning stuff-wise, command-wise, was good. But at that point, you know, they already did damage in the first. Good job by him giving us four, you know, saving the bullpen. But we expect more, and then he does too. That's the most important thing, you know. And I've been saying it all along, you know, like stuff-wise, he's really good, you know, 95, 96, and the movement of the pitches. We have to command better, you know. We have to be more precise, and we didn't do that yesterday. You know, we scored three, first pitch of the his outing, they hit a homer. We actually take that, you know, pound the strike zone, make them earn it, but we didn't do that and put us in a bad spot.
Speaking to Red Sox manager Alex Cora here on WEEI Afternoons. Alex, Jarren Duran has been at the center of obviously a lot of big plays, controversies as well in the last couple of days as well. Do you feel like perhaps maybe some of the issues with Jarren as to why he's not performing at the level he did last year is that he's pressing, that perhaps he's trying to almost do too much given the fact that the team really could use a spark like him?
Yeah, I think offensively the last three or four games, you know, hitting line drives, you know, that's who he is. And sometimes I feel like he feels like if I go, we go, you know what I'm saying? And you know, yesterday, that mistake, the base running mistake, he usually doesn't do that. It's a ground ball right at the shortstop. Actually, if he takes off right away, he makes it third, and the shortstop probably makes the decision to throw the ball of errors. And then he got in a rundown, which is the right play to do. You know, sometimes we talk to the players, you know, you got to stop the play. And Toro, he saw a window there to get to second because Jarren was in the rundown. It didn't happen. But going back to Jarren, slowing down the game is the most important thing. And, you know, we talk to him a lot. You know, he's a good player. He's, for me, kind of like the perfect player for the environment that we're playing in, right? He can run. He can hit for power. He's a good defender. But just make sure you don't try to do everything, you know, for the club. Just do your part, and if you do that, you're going to be okay.
Are you surprised with how seemingly quickly the clubhouse has been able to move on from Rafi Devers and that trade and that whole situation?
Well, we had a conversation in Seattle, and the less you talk about the subject, the better it is for the clubhouse, for the team. And, you know, like I said in San Fran, and I'll repeat myself, we love Rafi. He's a great guy. You know, he's a great player. Yeah, you know, we're going to miss him. But there's the decision we made as an organization and the players, you know, they just got a job to do, and it's go out there and play baseball. You know, we're 40-40. Today's the last game of the first half, quote unquote. It'll be good to win it with Crochet. Win this series tomorrow. Reset on Thursday with the off day, and you know, being away from home for a week and a half, and be ready for the Jays.
Alex, I believe Christian Campbell was sent down to Worcester, back to AAA baseball shortly after our interview with you last week. So what went into the organizational decision to give him a chance to reset, and how do you think, or what's the word on how he's progressing and what's going on with him there?
Yeah, I mean, we saw some trends towards the end, right, offensively. He's a guy that hits the ball really hard. He's a good offensive player. But, you know, timing-wise, it seems like he was off, and you could tell that he was feeling a little bit, right? And, you know, going back to AAA, to the minor leagues, and taking him away from this environment, you know, the environment of winning every game and working his game and making the adjustments that he needs to make to be successful at this level, that's what we're trying to accomplish. You know, he's going to start playing some first base down there too. Defensively, there's a few things that, you know, he needs to do at second base. And, like I said a week ago when he got sent down, you know, he's not the first big leaguer that gets option, right? We're playing actually against one of the best players in the history of the game, Mike Trout. You know, he got sent down and he came back and he has three MVP trophies and he's been solid. So, I mean, it's just a matter of reset a little bit, give him some breathing room and go from there.
Alex, I come from a world of football where we regularly ask the coaches and general managers, Elliot Wolf or Gerard Mayo, Mike Vrabel, who has final say on roster decisions and things of that nature. I don't ever really hear that question asked in baseball, so I just wanted to ask you, when it comes to roster moves and or the nightly lineup, who has the final say? Do you have final say on those things?
The lineup, yes, I do. Yeah, as far as like roster construction, all that is a collaboration effort. You know, we talk about the needs and what we, you know, what we expect from guys and who we're gonna play and, you know, what the future holds. You know, and obviously injuries come into play, fatigue factors and performance. You know, so the group with led by Craig. In Boston with the front office and myself, we have great communication with all this stuff. And at the end, we make the decision together.
Speaking of that, Alex, there's been a lot of speculation, talk radio, the internet, et cetera, as to what the Red Sox will do when it comes time to hit the trading deadline. So at this point, you know, with conversations you've had, do you believe you guys will be buyers or sellers?
I think at this point we have to play better baseball, right? We're playing 500. I know there's different ways now to make it to the playoffs, but we have to improve, you know, and there's a long time. There's a few weeks for that to happen, and we have to put ourselves in a good position to, quote-unquote, put pressure on the front office and the organization to add. We got some guys that are going to come out of the IL, and they're going to contribute, but at the same time, there's certain areas that we know we can improve. But, you know, before we get to that, we have to be consistent. We're here in Anaheim, try to win this one, win the series tomorrow, and go home and keep playing good baseball in Fenway and see what happens.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Craig Breslow has become sort of a caricature on this radio station. People like to sort of break down his tone and the words he uses. Behind the scenes, you've talked a lot about you guys have a great relationship. Is there a lighter side, a different personality of Craig Breslow that maybe we don't see and hear in the media?
He's great, man. You know, the way we talk is like when we used to play. You know, we play a little bit there back in the day, but he's down to earth, great family guy. Actually, our kids right now, they're in baseball camp together, and just a humble kid that wants you know, the Boston Red Sox to be great, you know, and he's working his butt off to accomplish that. It's a tough job because not everybody's going to agree with the decisions that the front office make. You know, this is it has happened throughout the history of the game, right? Nomar and Manny and, you know, John Lester and now Rafi Devers. We just got to be patient, you know, and we have a good team. I think at the end of the day, he doesn't control what happens at 7:05. It's up to us at 6:30, whatever time we play, and we have to improve in certain areas and be more consistent.
Alex, this next question comes courtesy of our Red Sox podcast, the Play Tessie podcast. You talked about a lot of roster changes that could be coming. You got several pitchers that could be making their way back up, as well as prospects that you guys received in the Rafael Devers trade. And you also mentioned Yoshida could be starting a rehab stint soon. So how long do you think it'll take for Yoshida to get through that rehab stint and get back to the roster? And how difficult is it going to be for you all to make decisions juggling the roster?
With Massa, I'll talk to him on Friday to see where he's at as far as his swing and the repetitions that he needs in Triple A or Double A to get ready for this level. The guy, he's a good hitter, and we can speed up the process with certain things, but I think at the end of the day, you know, being in the batter's box matters, right? And he hasn't played a competitive game since spring training. He's healthy. The throwing is getting better, and we all know that him in the lineup is going to help us. You know, as far as the decisions, you know, yeah, that when you have good players and the roster, you know, configuration comes into play, you have to make the tough decisions, you know, and some of them are going to be popular, others but I think, you know, having Massa and Alex in our lineup makes a lot of sense. You know, they're great players. We just got to make sure they're healthy.
With Yoshida and understanding some things could change between now and when he gets back in the lineup, do you have a role envision for him, outfield, DH, both, sort of is something in your mind right now?
Like a hybrid, yeah. I mean, if the throwing keeps getting better, you know, we'll We'll put him in the outfield. We'll use the DH spot to our advantage. But, you know, we need the at-bats. We want the at-bats. And, you know, when Massa's in the batter's box, he's a really good hitter.
Before we let you go, we just saw the lineups out. Marcelo Meyer at second base. What went into that decision? And as good as he's looked at third, should I assume he's going to look pretty good at second as well?
He'll be okay at second base. Giving a bad swing against Anderson, playing Nate at third base makes a lot of sense for us. So we're very comfortable with him playing second base.
All right, Alex, good luck tonight out west. And keep that promise, right? You're going to make it through nine innings?
I will. I'll promise you that. Yeah.
All right, Alex, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Alex.
Be well, guys. Have a good one.
You too, bud.
That was Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, with a lot of notable nuggets that I'm sure Christian Arcand will break down on the Christian Arcand Show at 6 o'clock. For us, we'll have odds and ends up next as we close out WEEI Afternoons.